Praise the Lord. This is Brother Greg from the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. We're so glad you're with us. Stay tuned right in for the next hour of gospel program. We have gospel music. We have testimonies of people that have been saved from lives of sin and degradation and born again of the Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus, that truly know the Lord. We've got responses from around the world, people responding to the pastor's Spirit-filled literature that he sends out free of charge all around the world. And most importantly, we have a piece of literature that's going to be read, written by Pastor Lamo, that same literature, that if you'd like a free copy, including postage and handling, have a pen and paper ready, and at the end of the broadcast we'll tell you how to receive a free copy of this piece of literature that includes Bibles, the pastor's Messiah book, audio messages from the pastors in the past, all free of charge, including postage and handling. And right now, let's go up to the throne of the living God and ask the Lord to bless and anoint this gospel program. Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you, Lord, for all of your goodness and your mercy, Lord Jesus, that you've shown toward mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, Father, Christ came and died for us while we were yet sinners. And Lord, how much more now, Lord, that we are saved, Lord, will you not bless and anoint this program? Lord, for your great name's sake, for your glory, Lord, let souls be saved. Let the church be strengthened and edified. Pour out your outward anointing, Lord, in a special way. O Lord, let souls be drawn to your precious bleeding side. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your sake, for your glory, for you alone are worthy. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Right now, we're going to play a song from Pastor Lamo, one of my favorites. Let him be all you need. Let Jesus be all you need today and forever. Here's Pastor Lamo to sing it.
Let it be.
And hurt gets you down. He won't be in your way, just around. If you're needing a shoulder when you're feeling low, let him be all you need for
Pastor, thank you so much. Amen. Let Jesus be your everything. And right now we're going to have Sister Jennifer to read responses that we receive from around the world. Sister Jennifer.
The first one here is from right here in the United States, from Roanoke, Texas, and it reads, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like to thank you all so very much for all that you do. Many times I have called and asked about our world pastor, Tony Alamo. Someone has always been there to promptly answer the phone and take my requests. They were always very friendly, courteous, and encouraging. I am so very thankful that there is a true Christian ministry that is available in this world so full of false prophets and doctrines. All the churches I've ever been in or seen are so full of false and misleading doctrines and teaching. Some are very close and preach and teach some truths, but fall short. I love to read and distribute Pastor Tony Alamo's newsletters and the Messiah books. I know his teachings are right from the throne of the Almighty God. I also like to read his website every chance I get. I don't own a computer, but I go to the public library once in a while. I don't watch TV. I do like to listen to Pastor Tony's taped messages. You are all in my prayers all day long, as I know the persecution you are all going through. Psalms 9, verses 9 and 10 says, 'The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee.' Amen. May the Almighty God continue to bless and keep you mightily in the name of Jesus. Wally Cameron from Roanoke, Texas." Praise the Lord. Here we have one from Africa, and it reads, "Dear co-laborers in Christ, thank you so much for the gospel material you sent to us and for your work of literature distribution among the nations of the world. How we distributed your literature and Bibles. After 7 long days journey in a crowded public bus, we finally arrived at Morgoda on October 10th, 2011. We had a 2-day prayer meeting and started to go from home to home, giving the literature and Bibles free of charge, explaining God's plan for salvation and praying for them. The work was difficult and tedious because most families were not interested. Some were even hostile, ready to draw their bows and arrows, while others threw stones at us. However, we were able to reach over 800 homes with your gospel materials and plant 2 Bible study fellowship centers at strategic locations. 2 months after this intensive rural evangelism and literature distribution work, more than 300 families turned to Christ as a result of your free gospel materials among Morgoda non-Christian communities. Praise God for his tremendous outreach, and we earnestly pray for more soul harvest, more of your gospel literature and Bibles, and a special anointing on your free gospel materials. We need 800 Bibles to give to the poor and needy converts who strongly desire to know more about Jesus. Keep on sharing the good news. Jesus will come soon. Maranatha, this means our Lord cometh. Evangelist Donatus N. Ozuramba, Director, Home and Foreign Missions, Imo State, Nigeria." Praise the Lord. And then we have one here from El Salvador. "Beloved brethren in Christ, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be able to help more people. I sincerely long to be a blessing to others, and thanks be to God, as well as you, I am now. May God Almighty provide to such a beautiful ministry, and we continue praying for our Pastor Tony. Blessings, Xavier Campos, San Salvador, El Salvador." Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sister. And now we're going to have a testimony service. And for the first testimony, we have Sister Anna. And Sister Anna, why don't you give the listening audience your testimony?
Good morning, Greg. I'm so happy that I could be here. I'm so happy that I am able to share my testimony with you today. My name's Anna, and I was born and raised in Southern California. I graduated from high school in 1972, but as a girl growing up, I was born and raised in a Mexican-American family. I'm a third-generation Mexican-American. We had a lot of turmoil in our lives. My father was an alcoholic, and this really brought a very strong strain on our family life. My father just, you know, he couldn't. He was a weekend alcoholic, and it was destroying us. And it was just very hard because we were always not knowing what he was going to do. And he really abused my mother physically, and it put a very mental strain on all of us. And at 14 years old, I decided I was not going to let anybody hurt me again. I wasn't going to love anybody anymore, and I was not going to let anybody's love come into my heart, and I closed my heart up to people, and I wasn't going to be hurt. I was not going to allow myself to be hurt. And I hated how my life was turning out, and here I am, a 14-year-old girl, you know, and life all in front of me, and I wanted to die. And I contemplated suicide, but I was too afraid. I didn't know what was after death. And so I just started taking drugs. And my friends were very surprised when I called them and said I want to smoke pot, because they knew I was very much into education. I had high academics, and I was, you know, excelling in so many parts of my school curriculums, and they were just, okay, you know, you sure you want that? Yes. And I didn't want it for the thrill. I wanted it for the escape. I did not want to live in the reality of what my life had turned out. And so that's what I did. For the next 4 years, I was taking drugs. I started with marijuana. I took speed. I took Red Devil barbiturates. I started taking mescaline and psychedelics, you know, and I just, whatever anybody gave me, I took. And it was destroying my mind and my body. And when we graduated from high school, I had decided I was going to leave Southern California. I was going to go up to San Jose with my best friend, and we were going to get jobs up there with a phone. We already had jobs set up with a phone company. My mom didn't even know I was going to be leaving. And if it didn't work out there, another friend said, just come up to Berkeley, you know, we're going to get all involved in whatever was going on up there. And, you know, I just wanted to leave the area, just wanted to get out of there. But we were at a party. It was going to be the parting party for everybody from high school, and everybody was going to go their separate way. And I was at the party, and I had drink in my hand, and I was looking at all my friends, and I was thinking, you know, they all look happy. They're dancing and carrying on. I thought to myself, I know I'm not happy. And just as I'm thinking these thoughts, I felt like I was shut off. Everything shut off all around me, and I was in a bubble. And I was looking at everybody. I could see them moving, but I could not hear a sound. And at that point, the voice of the Lord just went right through my whole body. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the sin on your soul is taking you to a burning hell. And I was just like, the reality of hell went through me. I knew there was a hell. I was raised, you know, knowing of hell. I was raised in the Roman Catholic institution, but I always thought I was going to a purgatory, which is not in the Bible. I didn't know that until after I became saved. I didn't even know about salvation. And I went running down this driveway, full speed. At the end of the driveway, I fell to my knees, and I was hitting my fists into the concrete, and I was screaming out with tears streaming down my face, "God, help me." And I just kept saying over and over, "God, help me. God, help me." And I did not know what to do. I didn't know about repentance. I didn't know about being born again. And I didn't know I needed to invite Jesus into my heart. You know, the Bible teaches you this. You know, the Bible, Jesus, you know, taught, you know, that you must be born again. And I didn't know that. And all I knew, you know, was I needed God, and I didn't know what to do. And I went running down the street. I sat under a tree, and I was screaming out, "God, help me, God, help me." And my brothers came with a car. They pulled the car up next to me, and they pulled me in the car. They figured I had flipped out on LSD or something. And they took me home, and they told me to stay home. And I says, "I've got to find somebody. Tell me about God. There's got to be somebody to tell me about God." And I have remembered a friend of mine named Alexander was going to Bible college. I said, "Well, maybe, you know, if he reads me something out of the Bible, you know, I'll feel better and everything, you know." So here it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I go and knock on his door. And the first thing he offered me was pot, marijuana. And my heart sunk. And I thought, "No, I don't want any." He offered me tea, so I said, "Sure." He's probably going to make marijuana tea. But he was in the kitchen, and he was talking from the kitchen. And I slipped out the door, got on my bike, rode back home, and I figured, well, I'm going to live in sin, and I'm going to die in sin. And there's nobody that can tell me how to get to God, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I really thought that. And I went home just completely in despair. And the next day I got a phone call from one of my other friends, and he said, "Anna, let's go up to Hollywood Boulevard now." Oh gosh, in the 70s, back then, there was every kind of person out on Hollywood Boulevard that you could imagine. The Hare Krishnas were out there dancing. The Hells Angels were out there lined up with their bikes. The hippies all going up and down the street with their backpacks. And then you have your regular Hollywood type people there, and the streets were packed. And when we were walking up Hollywood Boulevard, there was this group of gentlemen that were standing there, and they had pieces of paper. They're passing them out so fast as they could, to hit every person with, you know, to give every person the piece of paper that was passing them. And I took one of the papers, and I went to put it into my pocket, and that something drew me back. And today I know it was the Spirit of God. And I said, "What is this anyway?" And they started preaching to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, they told me how I needed to be born again. That, I had gone to a lot of churches in Southern California that were telling me, you know, all this stuff, you know, preaching a permissive gospel. You know, they're saying, you know, how God loves you and stuff. But here, you know, they're going on and on how God loves you, you know, stuff. But they're not telling me the severity of the judgment of God. And that was the first thing that I heard from God himself, was his severity, you know, on me, that my soul was going, the sin on my soul was taking me to hell. And that was his love towards me, to tell me that I was on my way to hell, you know, and that made me cry out. And I wanted to find out, I wanted to know how I could not go to hell. And I thought, you know, these churches actually had preached the faith out of my heart to where I didn't think it was possible to live a sinless life. And, you know, and I told the brother, I said, look, you're wasting your time. I can't do it. I've tried to stop taking the drugs. I've tried to stop drinking. I tried to stop doing the things that I'm doing wrong in my life that I know that are against God. I can't do it. And he looked at me and he said, you know, it's so simple. All you have to do is put your eyes on Jesus and never take them off. And those words were straight from the Lord to me. And I felt those words explode in my heart. And the Lord opened up my understanding to the simplicity of serving him. And I just stood there and I listened. And I felt the words of the Bible going into my heart that they were telling me. There wasn't their own words. It was from the Bible. And I felt the life coming into my whole being. And it was very late that night. And so I came up to the services in our church in Saugus, California. And the next night, and I caught the bus in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And I came up to the services, and at the end of services, I went down to the altar and I wept like a baby when I said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I actually felt the power of God. I felt like all the old dirty blood was leaving my body like a river coming out. And I felt the river rush in. It was like new blood was surging through me. I tangibly felt the change. I knew I was changed. And you know, after I asked the Lord into my heart, after I was born again, I was so happy. And I wanted to, I remember talking to the sisters, and one of the sisters said something to me that just really penetrated my soul. And she said, you know, any man putting his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And it just hit my heart. And I said, well, I want to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. And I, at that time, I asked if there was availability in the ministry that I could move into the ministry. And there was. And I was able to move into the ministry. And I just, you know, I went home. I got my things. I told my mother that I was moving into the Tony and Susan Alamo ministry. And she said, whatever makes you happy makes me happy. And I said, this makes me very happy. And I told her at that time not to tell my father where I was because I didn't want him to cause me any problems. I just wanted to settle my life in the Lord and learn the Bible and learn what God wants in my life. And so for 6 months, my dad didn't even know that I was in the ministry. And then when he found out, he wanted to come see me. And the Lord spoke to my heart and let me know it was all right. And he ended up coming to the services. And he came one night, the next weekend, he came back again. And he gave his heart to the Lord. And it was so miraculous. Because here was the man that, you know, as a little girl, I had loved so much. But had seen so much abuse from that it actually tormented me to see him come to the Lord and for him to be changed. Because he was not only, you know, saved and delivered, he was delivered from alcoholism. And nobody could ever get my dad off of alcohol. He went to AA meetings. He, you know, was in the Catholic Church his whole life. They never did anything to bring him to a deliverance, but in an instant, in a prayer of repentance, God delivered and changed my dad. And, you know, I'm so thankful to God that he, you know, that he is a deliverer, you know, and if you need deliverance, God will deliver you. He delivered me. He delivered my dad. And today it's for you. And I thank God that the Lord's hand is stretched out today and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, I change not. So I know he's here to deliver you today. So take him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Sister Anna. And for our next testimony, we're going to have a brother, a young brother in Christ, Brother Chris Perez. Chris, why don't you tell us about yourself and give us your personal testimony?
Sure, Greg. It all started out when I was just about 12, 10, and just growing up, I was mainly a Baptist. I was really, really big into religion, and my mom just done her very best just to try to tell me about God, and it was just something else because I really never understood what happens after death, and different preachers, and just places that I would try to go, people would try to tell me, oh, well, your body just goes back to the grave, and then you just sleep forever, and I thought, hey, maybe that's it. So just like growing up, I did have faith in the Lord. I just actually never knew who God was, like the living God, the true God. So just as I got older, preacher just started telling me different things, and everything just wasn't adding up right. So I just decided, well, maybe, just maybe, this God that they're saying really isn't real. You know, maybe I'm just crazy. So I just stopped reading, stopped going to church, and I just thought it was no big deal. I was going to live my life. And honestly, before I got saved, I actually thought I was going to live the big life like everybody thought, just to go out, have this worldly fun, and just be a individual, people call it. So just growing up, I wasn't a real wild person, but like I done things that weren't right in the eyes of the Lord, and I honestly never knew any of it was wrong because I was ignorant to the truth. But then about 4 years ago, something drastic happened. I was on a search for God, and so I started going back to church, and I tried this one church because they were holding this big old services for teenagers, plus they also had like food and stuff there. So I was like, well, probably I'll just go there just because of the food and stuff, and plus I had friends that went there. So I went there, and this preacher, he was I honestly couldn't understand the message, but I found myself at the altar crying, just crying my heart out. And I knew that my heart wasn't right with the Lord, and I knew that I needed to straighten my life out. About a day or two later, my father started going to the Tony Lama Christian Ministries, and so he offered me to come to services one night. So it's like, well, maybe this is just going to be like every other services. You go, and then you talk with people, and then you go home, you know, just like all these other modern-day churches do nowadays. So I went, but I didn't realize that night I was going to hear the true plan of salvation. And a very, very faithful brother told me exactly what I needed to hear. One question I always had is, where do we go after death? Do our body just stay in the grave and we just go to this endless sleep? But this brother told me something else. This brother told me something very fearful. So fearful, I honestly thought, and the Lord my witness, I honestly thought that my breath was going to leave my body because the fear of the Lord was so strong. And I'm just so thankful for the fear of the Lord because it just makes a man depart from evil. Because I heard a message. It was as though the Lord himself was sitting in my bedroom. Because there was three things that I'll be honest that I used to do before I got saved. Because I was so scared of the dark. I would actually sleep with the nightlight, and I would actually cover my eyes with the cover, and I would try to find all possible ways to just stay away from dark. So when this brother gave this message over death, it was so fearful, because when you die, you are going to stand before the living God, and you are going to give account for everything you've ever done in your life, whether it be good or bad. So when that brother told me that, it doesn't matter if you sleep with the nightlight, if you hide under covers, or if you're afraid of the dark itself, you are going to stand before the Lord. And when I heard that message, I was so, so scared. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I was just so filled with fear. So they asked me to come down to the altar, and because of my stubborn heart, I said no. I said no, being just in so much fear, I didn't know what to think. Because I never heard a message like this. I never heard that, oh yeah, Jesus is coming back to earth again. I never heard that after death, there is a judgment. There is no right hand resting of God. No, when your breath leaves your body, know for sure and for certain, you are going to stand before the Lord. And if you aren't right with the Lord, it's not going to be a pretty sight. That's why I'm just so thankful, because I got saved by the blood of Jesus. And I came to the Tony Lama Christian Ministry 4 years ago. And it's been one of the best 4 years of my entire life, because I know the Lord. I know what He requires of me. And after services, the brothers came up to me, and then they explained to me more about the Word of God. And I knew right there on the spot, that if I didn't accept the Lord, if I did not accept salvation, what could happen to me? You know, if I leave this church knowing the terror of God, knowing the judgments of God, I'm just so thankful that the Lord had mercy on me and showed me in His mercy that if I didn't repent, there is a hell that awaits me. And it awaits you and everyone else in the world that don't want to serve the Lord. And when I heard that message, I truly got down on my knees and I asked the Lord in my heart. And it's been 4 years now, and I'm loving every minute of it, because I get to fellowship with the brothers. And I asked them to just get to go out, and I just get to witness to people. I just recently graduated from high school. While I was in high school, I got persecuted for the cause of the gospel. After I got saved, I would just tell people, the Lord's coming back, the Lord's coming back. I was so filled with zeal to serve the Lord. And my teachers thought I was crazy. My teachers thought something else of me, because they'd never seen kids like this, 15, 16 years old, going into school, passing out gospel tracts and just telling them the good news of the Lord. I mean, it was never heard of. And so I've been threatened to get suspended from school, fined, you name it. I got it put to my name. But I'm just so thankful that the Lord just drug me out of all that mess. And now I'm saved and I'm washed in the blood and I'm still serving the Lord. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord saved my soul and that He had mercy on me. So I know that if the Lord can have mercy on me, He can have mercy on you. I guess that's all for my testimony, Greg.
Well, thanks, Chris. That's great. Praise the Lord. This time of the broadcast, now the pastor wants his literature read. For some people, you know, they find it hard to read, or they don't have time, or maybe you can just sit and listen while driving your vehicle or whatever you're doing. You can sit and listen and enjoy the literature that has won so many hundreds of thousands of souls, maybe millions. And we're going to ask Sister Michelle to read a recent piece of literature written by Pastor Lamo. Sister Michelle.
The Body, Volume 14500, by Pastor Tony Lamo. I've been given a message from God called The Pillars, which speaks of both the pillars of cloud, wherein God was, and the pillar of fire, wherein God was, to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Also, the same pillar of cloud and fire came down to prove God's presence in the wilderness on Mount Sinai, and to put the fear of God into the entire nation of Israel. Quote, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and heard the noise of the trumpet, and saw the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. Also, the pillar of fire and cloud came down from heaven to consume offerings and to signify that God was pleased with the grand opening of the house of God, both the portable one of Moses and the one King Solomon had built in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. These temples built by men were temporary. We are the actual true temple or house of God, or the body of Christ. There is only one church, which is not a denomination, such as Catholic, Baptist, or any other religion. It is only one body, composed of the bodies of those of us who are saved, born again of the Holy Spirit, wherein the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire dwell. When some people are first saved, if they are not careful, they will let the evil spirits misguide them into a pseudo or false church, or lead them to believe they are another David, Elijah, or some other Bible personality. However, if we are saved, we are one body of people which have a multitude of jobs in the body, Christ's body. Christ is the head of the body, and we are the members or saints who no longer sin, but walk by the pillar of cloud in us and the pillar of fire in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. We are the temple of God. We are actually Christ's body on earth to continue by him his work here on earth. The body of Christ is not one person, but is many persons, baptized into one body, which is Christ. We all have different offices or jobs, and all of them are very important. Quote, "For as the body is one, only one, as there is only one church, which is full of God's truth and power, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ's one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, the pillars of cloud and fire, Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. In John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus promises that he is not the only one the Father lives in. Quote, "In my Father's house, where God lives, are many mansions, many sin-cleansed people. If it were not so, true, I would have told you." Quote, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 14, verse 6. Since we are his body that he both lives and works in, which he leaves behind to finish up his work, he can say, because he by the Spirit lives in us when he is in heaven, quote, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." What works did Jesus do that we shall do also? He preached the gospel, taught the gospel, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, never committed one sin, and never said that he is or was a sinner. We are new creatures, sons of God, who walk in the Spirit. And greater works than these shall we do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he might abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, Jesus, in you, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, as he is in every born-again member of the body of Christ, the true one and only church. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Now we, the body of Christ, are able to do more than Christ, because he was only one human body. We are many human bodies. Christ was confined to his one body until he went away and gave his life-giving Spirit to dwell in as many as will accept him and do his works. He went away to prepare his body. As the life-giving Spirit, he is now able to dwell with the Father in all of us who are the many members of his body. In John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus tells us, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. For as the body, our body and Christ's body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We, his body, are his hands, feet, eyes, nose, ears, and mouth, all of his members. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. We cannot assume ourselves to be super saints, another Moses or David. They were both members of big armies. They needed the body for the work of God. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 22. It's obvious that we all have Christ's work to do in his body, just as the whole King James Version Bible commands. We must sow mercy. James chapter 2, verse 13 says, quote, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister, Christians, be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, which in reality is the body of Christ, what does it profit? More than ever, the works of the body of Christ must be done. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Quote, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James chapter 2, verses 13 through 20. Again, if we believe in Jesus, we will do the works he did also. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. If you do, you will be saved. If you don't, you will be lost forever. The world is in desperate need of disciples, workers. Begin your life in the life of Christ by saying this prayer.
Thank you, sister. And we'll go into that sinner's prayer after the next piece of literature that you read. Looks like we have time for another one. Go ahead, sister.
Divorce is Sin by Tony Alamo, volume 13800. Jesus says, quote, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. God, Jesus, condemns divorce except for the cause of fornication. If you divorce your wife for any other cause than fornication, you are the cause of her committing adultery. Is adultery a sin which would cause a person to go to hell? Yes. Adultery is one of the 10 big sins. Is divorce a big sin? Yes, because it is the cause of adultery. Is having more than one wife a sin? Never. Search the scripture and see for yourself. There is never any condemnation from God the Word, who is Jesus, for having more than one wife. Why not have another wife, or more, instead of divorcing the one you have and being the cause of adultery? If you have children, you are causing their mother to commit adultery. You are also breaking the hearts of your children and causing their mother to work, which forces her to neglect your children. It is much better to stay married than to burn in the lake of fire. quote, "Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Many scriptures condone, quote, many wives. The word of God never says that marriage is between one man and one woman. However, the word of God always condemns marriage between men and men or women and women. And if you have more than one wife, God condemns group sex, having sex with more than one wife at one time. Why would you put the woman you once loved dearly out in the streets and with your children, especially when there is a hell where you will go for doing what Jesus, the Word of God, commands you not to do? He also tells you that she and you will both go to hell for her adultery and for your causing her to commit adultery. God knows what I am saying is the truth. The law of God actually enforces having more than one wife. But Jesus never condones divorce except in the case of fornication. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Check Webster's dictionary, especially the older versions. It will tell you that childhood ends at puberty. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was married to Isaac when she was 10 years old, and Isaac was 40 years old. History tells us Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a preteen woman before Jesus was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. The people of the United States are ignorant of God and His Word, Jesus. This is why there are so many teenage pregnancies, preteen pregnancies, and abortions, murders. The devil is behind all of this. There are 4,000 abortions daily. When these preteen women, and I say women because they have reached puberty, reach womanhood, their natural God-given instincts are to want to become brides, mothers, parents. Yet they are forbidden to marry and have children. This is not of God, and if it is not of God, it has to be of the devil. The Bible says so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Quote, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Adultery is a sin that will send your soul to hell. Divorce is also a sin that will cause your soul to go to hell, except for the cause of adultery. God personally gave King David many wives. He, by Nathan the prophet, told David, quote, "And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8. When some people reach the age of puberty, it is their natural God-given instinct to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Quote, "And God said unto them," Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." To do otherwise is not of God, but it is of the Antichrist, the devil. It is a commandment for the people of God to marry, some at puberty, and to multiply. Get your soul saved by saying this prayer.
Thank you, sister. And for those of you that have been listening, and you know that these are words of truth, and you know that you're not right with God. You know that you're not consecrated wholly and completely to the Lord, and that you've been holding back. There is mercy for you. There is restoration. There's hope for you. We're going to say a simple sinner's prayer. Repeat it to God. Say this prayer with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Say this prayer to God by faith. Repeat after me, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood. for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you truly gave your heart to the Lord, what a wonderful beginning it truly is that God has dealt with all that you have done in your entire life and forgiven you and washed all your sins away in his precious blood. Praise the Lord. And now, take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. Deny yourself and let God deal with what you are and deal with you to become a strong Christian in these last days, a true warrior in the name of Jesus. And as we promised at the beginning of the program, if you have your pen and paper ready, if you'd like a copy of Pastor Lamo's literature, or if you need a Bible or a copy of his Messiah book that tells of the hundreds of prophecies of the coming of Jesus that proves that he is the true Messiah, or for free audio messages from the pastor, just simply write to Tony Lamo, World Pastor, Tony Lamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, Post Office Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or just call the 24-hour prayer and information line at area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406, or visit on the website at alamoministries.com, or contact us by email at info@alamoministries.com. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you've been with us for this past hour, and we look forward to be with you again next time. And the Lord bless you. And we're going to close this broadcast with Pastor Lamo singing Have Thine Own Way, Pastor Lamo.
Wash me just now. thy presence, humbly I love. Christ only, all.